going to only again for about 2 minutes. Then we change heads. Honorable Chidega will come and take over as the chair of the local government. And we pass the cross boundary, or not pass, but debate on the cross boundary bill. That's a twin to this one, because you can't pass one and leave the other. Both here must go together. Let me check Dr. Bauer wants to address the committee. Dr. Bauer.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't want to be presumptuous and reopen the whole thing, but I think perhaps if the two chiefs can just consider if during the break even, if the NCP decides to have one debate only, what about the position of the two ministers? Because there are two ministers involved as well. And the focus of the debate might be somewhat different. And the process as well. The Constitution says the Amendment Bill is a vote of province, whereas the cross-boundary repeal bill is Section 75 vote according to party lines. So perhaps just if you can give us some guidance, we need some guidance to take back to our principles as well on that, in that regard. Because the one debate has got certain implications. Also from that point of view.
Now, as I said, let's leave that for myself and all of you, and then we'll talk to the presiding officers and see how we can do even the chief about it. But it's not a trained match. A debate can be won, but when you come to vote, as you said, we can vote separately. But ministers can express themselves anyhow. But if one should figure that whatever we're doing, let's just follow the route, the route to the book. By all means, they will do that. But I think you can leave it to us, and we'll do it. Sam? Okay, thank you very much. On that note, can we break for about 3 minutes, and then we give it to our team again, now as local government?
Bamanyo, it seems we are disappearing now. Minute is a little, Baba. It's over. Today is a quite... we have a lot of short meetings. A lot of short meetings. There's this meeting now that we have to deal with. We are expected to handle two things in this meeting. The first one is to deal with the bill in front of us. The second one is to deal with the report. The report of KwaZulu-Natal. As you know that there was an intervention in KwaZulu-Natal. Now we have to handle the report of that, because when there being the four members, myself, Ubabuntuli, Mr. West, and Ubabunzil. Now we're supposed to deliver a report, because the report must be debated next week. We must find a place that next week it is debated and passed. Otherwise, we do not be compliant with the Constitution if that is not done. In terms of Section 139, in relation to us being able to say we support or don't support intervention in that area. At the same time, after this meeting, there's a meeting of the members' privileges, committee led by Mr. Adams, member of the PTR about having to attend there and so on, because we share membership. But we agreed that the priority is at these committees. That one is important, but not the priority. Very important, but not the priority. Those are the areas that we have to deal with and handle. Having said that, I think we have to start by engaging on the bill, which is not a long thing. It's not a long thing. The issue really being this cross-boundary municipal laws repeal and Richard Mental Amendment Bill. One of the things that we raised, I think maybe Dr. Bauer, when he talks to us, he'll talk about that outside the bill, but part of the principal bill. It's around the resources that when we pass the principal bill, we're said will be availed in those cross-boundary areas in terms of ensuring that their services that were obtained by communities from one province, then when the province is no longer servicing that area, would not work, people would work off the special arrangement that we agreed upon. It's something that wanted to take an oversight as a committee to go and check the real situation and conditions in those areas. Because I'll tell you that some people, they raise issues with myself. Besides the issue of services offered by government. But they made an example that in one province, which I won't mention by name, that took over. They found that the premier's office, when it goes in that area, comes with everything, including caterers from the province, which you find that in the previous province, they were not used to that. Caterers were taken in the local area to empower the communities in that area. But in the new province, caterers come from the province, everything. It means there is no economic benefit for the community. Now they are saying, no, in this situation we're worse off. Now, basically now we remember in Egypt, in that situation. Now, those are things that we thought that the committee was going to make visits, because communities are not supposed to, what we discussed, the principle of us agreeing to these things, was that people aren't going to be worse off because of the new dispensation and the arrangement. In whatever way that is. Therefore, I'm saying those experiences are not the experiences that I had by myself only, but the committee must be able to benefit by doing oversight business in those areas and so on, so as we are able to know what is happening on the ground in relation to those things. Having said that, I would check with Dr. Bauer if there's anything that you want to talk to us about on the bill before we engage the committee members, if there are any issues that you want to raise at the broader level. Anything, Dr. Bauer?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't think I need to add, from the last meeting we went through the bill and all the specific clauses in the particular bill, and they were explained. At this stage, I don't think we need to add anything on the bill itself.
Thank you very much. To colleagues, you might have thought about something and so on, you might have consulted, and then you come with ideas at a broader level before we come with a fine comb to deal with the bill. Is there any issue that people would want to raise in relation to the issues in question that are here?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, based on the nature of this bill and based on the previous discussion we had in the previous bill in the other meeting, and based on the explanation that was provided to this committee, and looking at all the maps that were provided to us, that exactly indicates which areas will fall where and how are they going to be named from henceforth if this becomes a law. I don't see any need for us, Chairperson, to go back and scratch the floor at the end of the barrel. What I will humbly suggest is that if it pleases my colleagues, I will propose, Chair, that we move to the motion of desirability so that we go to the bill now formally, clause by clause. If there are issues, then they will arise when we deal with it, clause by clause. But I want to humbly and appeal and to my colleagues that I submit that we have done enough in terms of the discussion on the bill. It can only be fair for us to go clause by clause now, Chair. Yeah, if it faces my colleagues, I want to submit, Chair.
If it pleases the colleagues, it's conditional. Mr. Leroux,
Sergeant. Now, I would just like to say, as far as the consultation process is concerned, are we sure that the will of the people are reflected in what we are doing? I'm not always sure if our consultation process really adheres to what they hear at public hearing. Thank you.
Well, some people will follow me.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I just want to remind my colleague Honorable Relu that this is Section 75B. It is supposed to be. It's we don't need the mandate of the provinces, but it's up to us whether we agree with the NA, and then. In fact, it means that you are questioning whether the NA did the get submission. Thanks.
Brother? No, sir, I think I'm covered because in 2025, we don't need to go to the public. We rely on the information from our colleagues in the National Assembly. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Well, let's hear then from the member.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairperson, I wouldn't want to take the committee back. We are now in a stage where I think I support my colleague, Khosh Mokwena, that we go now north by north. And I think the stance that IFP has actually taken, because this is a 75 bill, which doesn't actually require such, that the public hearing should have been held. We could have done that if we so feel that it has an impact on the province's status. Suffice to say that we regard this as a twin thing, both of them, the interlink, and therefore we cannot separate boys, men from boys. We say this one we support and that one we take them jointly, that since they are interlinked to one another, we feel that we will actually, our stand is that we vote against it. Thank you, sir.
Vale. Well, we have had the views of the party directly on this issue. Well, is there anybody who wants to raise, as we desire to engage on the bill, is there anybody who wants to propose that we, a motion that we discuss the bill and so on, that is related? Anybody wants to raise that?
I move that it is desirable for us as this committee in the senior house today, this time, to accept a motion of desirability for us to proceed in voting on the bill after going through clause by clause. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Morena. Any seconder?
Thanks, Chairperson. I do support the motion of desirability to accept this bill.
Thank you very much that you want to engage on the bill. Well, then, let's go then to engage on the bill, taking it clause by clause, to hear if there are any issues that people want to take them up and so on and engage upon. On clause one, agreed? Clause two, agreed? That song are you to hear it in the campus? Come on, smile, is it?
Smile. Chairperson, my silence does not mean that. I think it's suffice to say that as we have stated, our silence does not mean that we agree, and let it be noted that we will actually vote against the service. I don't want to say have the dissenting views and all that, but let it be noted right through as we go. Thank you, sir.
Chair, I also want to confirm that as well from the side of my party, there are certain things that we find we do not agree with, but that will come out in the debate. So that's, we want to reopen the debate here. Thanks, Chair.
Has the IFP and the PA caucus
Jacob.
I think those boats are not yet. On close stream. Agreed. On close four. Agreed. On close five. Short title and commencement. Agreed. Thank you very much. I think this was among the shortest things that we've done. Then having dealt with that, the bill, in terms of this, it means then that the committee has supported the cross-boundary municipal laws repeal and related amendment bill of 2007, meaning that all structures and systems would be put into place in ensuring that the municipalities in that area of Matadiel will be falling now formally under the province of the Eastern Cape. Ensure then that everything that is done there, even the mayor, they will be participating in the premier coordinating committee, the premier coordinating committee of the province, the monument, we call it the mayor's forums that are convened by the district, then involves the local mayors there in that area. Everything that is supposed to be taken has been done. In that respect, as the committee will be taking this then to that area. Of course, Mzimkulu has been part of that area, or is part of KwaZulu-Natal. Pemba, you're benefiting Mzimkulu as the area. Kodwa ke, in exchange, you know, benefit this one, you exchange that one, which I think is a good thing in terms of what has happened in the country. Now is the committee who have supported that. Now we'll be then dealing with the report on this cross-boundary municipal laws repeal and related amendment bill. That is dated 16th November 2007. The committee then has considered the matter and also, as it has been referred to it by the joint taking committee that classified it, referred it from the National Assembly, then we have taken this bill and adopted it without really amendments. Is there any issue that the department is going to raise at this stage? Dr. Bauer?
Chairperson, not so much regarding the bill, but with your indulgence, if I might add something else, I'll just need. Okay. No related matters.
Advocate Labasaken, I'm told that I must call you formally now. Okay. Sometimes it's nice to hear your voice.
Nothing. Thank you, Chairperson. Nothing to add.
Everybody will agree that with me that it was nice to hear that voice. And then I think we'll turn to the bill, Mbana.
I move that we accept the report of the committee as read by good self. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mbana. And Mr. Kenda?
I second.
Okay. It's in case second, Bob Manyosi. Then the report, then it's adopted and everything has been done. The bill has been passed. We'll be debating it on Thursday, in the National Council of Provinces. The modalities around the two ministers, as it's been raised by Dr. Bauer, the combining of the debate and so on. Because I think you must understand that to speak out of the speech, you can't prepare speech on this issue and expect on the other issue.
because they are related, and therefore the way you approach it, it will be something that I think we'll manage. But of course, we'll allow our ministers to partake in the debate in a way that it inspires even themselves the way it is handled. But we'll work on the modalities and so on. We'll communicate that to you, Dr. Bauer. I think we're through with the bill now. Let's engage then on the related matter. As we have heard that I've raised, which I'll be able to hear from yourself, Dr. Bauer, whether as do a trailblazer in terms of dealing with the issues of amending things, of coming with laws, do you really go back to check whether these laws are doing what you intended, so that there are no unintended consequences? The issue to me, as I raised earlier on, is about communities not being well off in the new dispensation. I mean, I can make practical examples of those things that were there from provinces, because provinces have, the way they allocate resources becomes different and so on and all that. I'm saying, when you touch on the subject matter, don't you touch upon, if you can touch on that also. Dr. Boer?
Chief, perhaps just to recap on the institutional arrangements that were put into effect following the processing of the Constitution 12 Amendment Bill and the cross down to the Principal Bill. Arising from that, because the big challenge was not so much in respect of the municipal areas, but more in respect of the provincial functions and the service delivery. Now, because it was at an awkward time for the processing of amended and adjusted budgets, the two provinces signed memoranda of understanding and implementation protocols and service level agreements to continue the services as they were up to the end of the current financial year. So that means up to the end of March 2007, with the new budget then reflecting the new responsibilities that have been allocated. So as a result of that, if you regard it back to the Division of Revenue Act for the current financial year, adjustments were made in respect of the budgets of the provinces, as well as in respect of the affected municipalities. Now, for example, total of 130 water and sanitation projects in the planning stage is totaling 483 million rand. So MIG was then addressed in that aspect. We also shared the figures, I don't have that exact figure with me at this stage, how the allocations specifically in respect of Maserati Health, the equitable share allocations have increased quite extensively. But in summary, we can say over 2006, 2007, and 2008 financial years, 7.9 billion rand has been allocated to the realignment of municipalities from the local government. That's overall dealing with all the cross-boundary municipalities, but also a large portion going to the area of Matateal, Umzimkulu, and Umzimbubu. Now, having said that, the department and the ministry do acknowledge that there are pertinent challenges still facing the area. But those challenges are not necessarily unique to Masatiel. We're experiencing that in the whole of local government. And as a result of that, as the outflow of Project Consolidate, specific experts and professionals have been deployed directly to different areas, and specifically in Masatiel. And as an ongoing support issue, the department is responding to the institutional challenges raised. And I think the suggestion by the committee and by the chair specifically of ongoing engagement with the department, I think is an integral part of the role of the select committee in respect of the oversight of the department in any event, because this is part of our ongoing support that we need to address these challenges. And as I say, I think because of the court case and because of the processing of this legislation, the whole issue of Matatihal and the surrounding areas has been highlighted. But if one goes and interrogate the real concerns raised, as you're rightly saying, we know those concerns. It's not unique to those areas. It's not directly related necessarily to the change in boundaries. Because if we, and that's a point that was stressed at the last meeting of the committee, if we had regard to the content of the comments that were received in the whole process in the National Assembly, also on the Constitution 13 Amendment Bill,
most of those concerns reflected on municipal service delivery, not provincial service delivery. And a municipality is a municipality is a municipality, irrespective of whether it's situated in one province or another province. It's the same political organization or constituency that addresses those aspects. So it means that from the DPLG perspective, we have to attend to ongoing institutional support to those particular areas. And it's not only to Matatiel, it's to all municipalities in the country. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Dr. Barras. Emrana, you will follow Mr. West.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, arising from what was said by Dr. Barras, I want to passionately plea with the department. I want this message to be conveyed to our executive. That the changes that we have made as this committee and as parliament must not negatively affect our people in that area. Because that is what's making people to have some problems and concerns. Because they think for them being shifted from province A to province B will negatively affect them. And it's up to the department now to prove people wrong to say, even if you belong to this particular province, you will even get more services than what you had before. So I want to make this statement plea that let that be done. Because really, we don't want people to feel as if they're being dumped, ignored, you know. And we know that the department can do that. Just to emphasize, Chairman, that if that can be followed up by the department, and let's see development in that area. Let's see people celebrating and saying, no, anyway, we thought we're not going to get services, because that's what they're saying if they're in the Italy, for example, they might not get good services. Now, even though I want to raise this in a formal debate on Thursday, but I want the department to take this through to the political head or the executive, that let our people enjoy services like they did before, even more than what they used to get. So just to show that for you belonging to province A or B, it's not even an issue. As long as they get those services, that will be enough. If that can be done, Chairperson, I think our people those tensions might subside. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Marina. Mr. Webster, you will follow up on the slide.
Thanks, Chair. Mr. LaRue from the Eastern Province, he says they're going to get very good service now that they're in the Eastern Province. Chair, through you, I'd like to ask Dr. Bauer, I'm very pleased to hear that I take it it's a pro rata proportion under the Division of Revenue has been now sent to the new province for that particular municipality or the cost involved there. But as I'm led to understanding, certain legislation, which I think still got to go through, will only be from the 1st of July every year now, should another scenario like this happen, am I correct? That money will then stay with the old province and they will carry on until the 1st of July. I just want to make sure whether I'm on the right track or not. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, also following from what Advocate Bauer has actually said, and I think I clump also in the framework on with Hoshi Mukwena, that when people are being actually taken from A to B, there's that fear. But if that fear is not addressed, then we will see the things that are happening. I may cite an incident where it's in my province, and where my party actually has deployed me in the then so-called Northwest and Gauteng, which is also. I was engaged with that area as way back during the time of Premier Popo Molefe. Things that were not, the services which were not rendered to those people,
I engage the province. I would engage the Gauteng province up until I had to engage the office of the national minister. Fortunately, the national minister, his department went with me to Mirafong city. We sat down with the councillors, as they say in Afrikaans, let me want Arab gemaakt. And this is the time when people say, when we say, if people are convinced that if you are now permanently in that area, the services will be the same as you say the same government. But in the past it was not the same. I bear testimony that is the reason why you find that we are adamant perhaps to support some of these bills, because of the same thing that we were engaging the provinces as far as up to the premier, but nothing had actually come through. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to particularly to agree with Dr. Bauer that the equitable share comes from the national fiscus, not from the provincial legislature or from provinces. So it strengthened the argument of saying that what we are trying to do here is to strengthen the municipalities, particularly the districts and districts, metros, all spheres of the municipalities. That's what we are trying to do, to strengthen that part of the sphere of the government. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think Dr. Bauer, we must agree that the committee has to make follow-ups on this matter. This is most responsibility. Because even if you remember, when if there were disagreements on negotiations of protocols and so on, the transfer of powers and functions, it was supposed to be referred to us if there were disagreements between provinces, which didn't happen, it went very well, which we appreciate. But it's something I think that we must follow up as a committee. In addition to that, I think we must talk to the PSC to do some research themselves, you know, on the staff situations there and so on, including the services at that level, particularly offered by various spheres of government, so that we see that these things are there. Then the interaction, of course, with the department must be ongoing in relation to this and people who are affected in those areas, so that our interest as people are here, as community members, to ensure that the communities are actually not worse off in a situation where a new province, there is a new provincial dispensation in that respect. Because provinces, they vary on resources available in the provincial fiscus. Therefore, in a way, they discuss that varies, allocation of resources and so on. And you find that in some cases, they offer this, in other cases, they offer that and so on. Those things, then, I think that really we must look at that. People must not feel that they are. As Umrena was saying, that people must not feel who they are damned and so on. Their conditions have deteriorated. Everybody wants a better life. All of us. We don't want to be worse off than today. We would want to be better off than today. I mean, it's a norm of a person. And I'm saying that's what I think that is an issue. But we thank you very much for what you've done. We highly appreciate it. And we are saying then that it's something that of value and of importance, that this matter, from our point of view, is finalized. Except to say that we are still awaiting the outcome of the constitutional court case from the on the Mrapung situation to hear what the constitutional court is saying on that matter. Then we'll take it from there. I must tell you, Mrena, that I met the two gentlemen in this land. I said, why do you come here, the two guys? You know, they move like kids. Advocate Lambaskachen and Dr. Bauer. I said, I see them in the big of beyond. I said, what are you doing? They said, no. It was early days dealing with this amendment. They said, no, went to premiers and so on, and leadership.
on the outcome of the Constitutional Court case. Therefore, to look at what has to be done. Now, this bill, I think, has strengthened their bonds that have been there very, very much in a way they conduct it themselves. You can hear it from Dr. Bauer, the way he pronounces these municipalities in the Eastern Cape and so on, that no, he's familiar with these things now. He's a friend of those areas. I think then maybe he must be an honorary citizen of those areas. They say no with Advocate Labosaka. Colleagues, thank you very much. I think the last point that we'll be dealing with now is this report of ATRAC. We must deal with that ATRAC report. Then maybe allow after that the department to move, because there's that intervention. In fact, there's another intervention. I mean, there's that intervention where provincial functions have been taken by the municipality, by the province. In Asia. Now there are others in the Western Cape, Central Karoo District, and Beaufort West. The MEC has intervened at that level, taken over the functions. It means it's something that we also will have to attend to at some point and deal with. Dr. Boyle, sir.
Chief, sorry, there was one outstanding question from Mr. Worth on that alignment of the budget. I do not know whether you want me to quickly respond to that. Chairperson, what Mr. Wood is referring to is a standard clause that has now been inserted in the Annual Division of Revenue Act to anticipate the situation that we had last year with the local government elections, where the change in municipal boundaries and provincial boundaries took place in not at the beginning of a particular financial year, specifically the municipal financial year. So in anticipation of that, Treasury is now including a standard clause in the Division of Revenue Act. You'll see that every year. To say if there are changes in boundaries, and specifically municipalities, we're just keeping the financial status quo until we go through all the budget processes. But that is not applicable in this case. Things were adjusted already in 2006. To address the budgets, with the exception of the provincial budgets, and that was affected from the current financial year that started on 1st of April. So that is a standard clause, and you'll see it in every year's Division of Revenue Act.
We highly value and appreciate your input as always. And you can stay if you want to listen to local government, but if not, you have the right to be excused, sir.
Chief, thank you very much for that. If I may add just a few minutes of the committee's time, just want to convey something. Your concern that we noted, and also my colleague here, I don't know whether the committee knows him very well, Mr. Myron Fiete is the Executive Manager for Institutional Support in the DPLG. So he's actually also the component that are tasked with a lot of these institutional arrangements and responses. So that will definitely be taken into account. Chairperson, and then I'm in a bit of an awkward position because of the two committees with the same membership. But I think in following protocol and closely to the portfolio, unfortunately I have to inform the members of these of the two committees that this would be my last attendance of this meeting. I've resigned from the public service. I wish to thank all members for all the years that they contributed to my development as an official, and I hope that my contribution was also well received from their side, and that I really had wonderful years in the NCOP. And especially with the NCOP, I've got fond memories. I was part of the initial team that created the idea, worked on the idea of the NCOP. I drafted the first rules and orders of the NCOP, the first budget. So I've got a very big affinity with the NCOP and with the two committees. It was a wonderful experience in the past, nearly 9 years. And I thank you for all your indulgence. We had many interesting times. Thank you very much.
On that, we'll request probably the chairperson of the council to invite you to the launch of the 10 years. 10 years doing of the SOP. And people who have participated were largely invited to that, in the development of the creation and development of the SOP. You know, in a celebratory mood, we'll talk to him that, no, we met one of the persons who developed the SOP, whom we think deserves an invitation to be part of that. So that then we meet with you in a celebratory mood, not in these confines of this, and be able to really say, bon voyage, wherever you are going. But a person who has worked with you very closely for years, as a veteran of this committee, I think all of us were new in this committee. It's Mr. Mgwena, who can be able to talk fondly about yourself, about what you are telling us. It's bad news, it's bad to us. But I think you can be able to attribute correct ways to what you are telling us. Right.
Thanks, Chair. Usually it is easy for one to utter words, accolades. I just hope that we were forewarned. It came as a shock, you know. I can't even believe it. Nevertheless, it's true. We worked with Petra for a very long time. That's why if you can hear some of us are calling by name, that's the nature of Dr. Power. We've been through so many things, even during the constitution-making process. He was part of the component who assisted us in a very great deal. For us to have the second house as it is now, it is through his effort and the team that were busy assisting us in drafting the constitution. He's just downplaying the role he played, Chairperson, not even this one, in the bigger role in this institution. We are losing a cream, Chairperson. We're losing an asset. We're losing a valuable person. And I just wish those who are going to benefit from him good luck. But they must just be ready, because we might come with a storm to poach him back. Because to lose such a valuable person like him, really, it's a loss, Chair. But thank you, Dr. Bauer, for all that you've done for your country. And the Chairperson has said that he saw you and Johan somewhere. It shows that you are true South Africans who were ready to service your country without any reservations. Thank you very much. It was so easy working with you. There are people who, when they come to the committee, they come with fixed minds that they can't move. But you were ready and flexible whenever we said, no, as a committee, this is how we feel. You were ready to accommodate us, even to try and persuade us in a polite and honest manner. Unlike coming here with some fixed positions. As I said, as a committee, we have benefited a lot by working with you. Wish you all the luck in your area where you are going. I hope you're not leaving the country. You'll still be within the boundaries of South Africa. Because any time, if we feel we need your services, just advice on this or that, in terms of your experience, I hope you won't dump us. You'll be willing to assist us in any way. Chair, I don't know if we're Chairperson, as I said, he caught us off guard. We didn't expect this, but wish all the best, etc. I hope and I know God will give you strength to keep on servicing the people of Africa. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mrena. Well, you can agree with me that Dr. Bauer, that I chose the right person who can flex his ways appropriately. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Colleagues, let's just jump to this thing. The report is in front of you. This report, as I said, has to be debated next week. As members of the committee, we got a draft yesterday were to develop it. This is a draft two.
He's doing that now.
Colleagues, the report is in front of us. I'll just ask people, maybe give them about 5 minutes to read it. It was about a few pages. They go through it in about 5 minutes. It's about 4 pages of the report. While you are reading, I'll be talking to it. As you know, we're briefed by Minister Mabiakulu. About the intervention that he has made when he briefed us on the 3rd of October, that he has made in the 8 lakh municipality. It's a very small municipality. It's a municipality with four wards. It's a whole municipality. Yeah. But it is huge in terms of size and all that.
Yeah.
Farm. Big farm. This municipality has about 7 councillors. These councillors are composed in a way that it's 4 IST, it's 3 IST, 3 ANC, and 1 DA. Now, in this municipality, you have a situation where the DA and the IST are in alliance, very strong alliance. And therefore, they elected the mayor to ensure that it runs things. And this municipality, then, as you know, that the former the mayor was suspended, Mr. Kosa. Not only himself, also the municipal manager and so on, because of alleged issues of misdemeanors that were raised. On issues of fraud, corruption, and so on, that we raised. Now, as the committee went there to check whether was it necessary for the MEC to intervene, as you know, we're a delegation of 4 people. When we were there, we met with the councillors, the DA spoke, one councillor, Mr. Stanley, saying that they don't see the reasons for the major written submission. They don't see why the intervention was effected. It is not necessary in their own view. Also, besides that it is not necessary, but they think that it is not constitutional in a way that the executive obligation that they taken, there was no need for that to be done. And it went further to say that the situation now is worse off than before. The IST also raised the same issues in saying that Mr. Mobas was passing. That the intervention, they don't support it. It is not in the interest of the council. The council was functioning well. There were no problems. Everything was going well and so on. And therefore, they don't see that. But they find that the ruler now, the ANC, is brutalizing them in a way that it takes irrespective. Then we checked what was happening before. They are saying even when they present motion, the ANC suppresses motions and puts it on. When we asked, the ANC said no, they want the intervention. In fact, it was overdue from the ANC point of view because the problems that have been going on there are so serious that these things are going. We asked them this thing was not even reaching it out to each other. The ANC said no, the ICT is taking the same medicine that it was given them. They are saying that the ICT was not moving an inch. It would take the bridges, ram them down and go away, kicking and screaming, take the bridges. And say, we are ruling party. We are ruling. Yeah. Therefore, you take it on the bridge. That's how they are. And in that, the tension is so big. And you can see that these people, you know, they see each other as arch enemies. Even when they speak, the blood boils in their veins and acid. The conditions are not conducive for this thing. Then from there, then they gave us even written documents supporting their views on those issues. Then we met with the municipal manager. The municipal manager raised a picture that you have a council that is dysfunctional. A council where you have that, a situation where there are no policies on anything. One. It means you run things as if you are in a barber shop. Two, you have a situation where the council is running on a deficit. There is no money. It is literally bankrupt, you can put it that way. Safe to say that the light is on the ground. Financial, yes, financial. So what about the fact that... Yeah, financial embarrassment. There is no organogram. The employment of people just pick up in the future to employ as wish. The level of interference for managers, from politicians, is so high. They intimidate managers as they wish and push their lines as they wish. The files of staff, they are not there. It means you don't know what happened yesterday on the staff. Qualifications, because they are not fine. The payment of people, non-existent, there are a lot of ghost workers that are there. A week before we arrived, they had, they called me in the hall to come and check who are these people that were employed that were paid. They found that there are a lot of ghosts in the staff, people who are employed. And they are saying then that also they asked the service of TBSA to assist. The financial statements are not presented to the Auditor General. The situation, there is no, the situation is bad in a way that the service delivery is poor. There was one area that the district is not providing water. Because the district is, because of the tension, is under a different party than the new incumbent of the ANC. Therefore, since the ANC has taken over, they have stopped water, because water is a function of a district, as an authority and so on. Now, there's a lot of unbecoming things that I would not like to mention in this meeting to these nice gentlemen who are here and women, that I won't talk about those things. But we met with the staff, and the minister also presented documentation in that respect. We met with the staff. Overall, except to be specific, the son of Mr. Stanet, everybody in the meeting, including women, was there. You know, it's more the men, dominated by men, women in the office. All of them, they said the intervention is overdue. The situation in that municipality is that as employees, there are people who are 16 to 20 years casual workers, which is against the law in terms of basic condition of employment, death, and other things. The vehicles of the council, they are unsafe. They are forced to drive unsafe vehicles. If they are stopped by traffic officials, the tickets are given to individuals. You have to pay. Once you are forced by a supervisor to drive that vehicle, that is unsafe. They are saying that the managers in the office are not there. These managers are unskilled, without exception.
Therefore, they can't guide the middle management and junior management. I mean, the staff, because they're unskilled in firm. And they raise an issue that even the salaries might not be paid by this month and next month. They know what where they might be coming from. Because there are people who are working the finances who are raising issues there. They really said that help in that municipality to put in a proper footing, put policies, put program for service delivery, to ensure that themselves as employees have pride in it. They must be there. Some of them, they are saying they are paid 1,900 as a salary, which is outside even the workers of checkers. If you remember, the workers have been fighting for basic, I mean, for minimum wage. At least, it's a basic. They are not getting that amount. Now, they are raising an issue then that, therefore, the conditions are quite unbecoming. Of course, then, here, we are talking about our findings as a committee, which these things are really facts that I talked about. One of the major things that we're talking about here, that this thing of tensions and becoming, that is a major problem within the council. It has divided the council, therefore that's 10 years to the staff members. Which then, in fact, in a normal situation, you would really, if it was the same part, would dissolve that thing, and then say, no, new people must come, what's better than the country? You'd be saying that. Then also that the issue of staff, as I said, that they are unskilled and also people are working as casual, that the municipality is dependent on grants, that also they don't have this, they don't collect money. They have been owed 2.9 million, that's from the money, by the residents and business people, which they can be able to get if they move. They came lodge. They have a game lodge. They own a game lodge. With game, with cattle, and so on. They were telling us that that game lodge has not, they increased tariffs. About 6 months ago, the company was taking decision to increase those tariffs so they can get more revenue. While the municipality is distressed. Now, what we are saying, therefore, as a combination, that you require the provincial executive to dedicate itself in terms of giving money and people who can assist that municipality so that it can get the proper footing. And also that the municipal manager must use the school audit so that you can check what is required to be done in the council, what are the skills level that are there, and begin to look at how to what you do with that situation, so the municipality can be able to do what it needs to be done. That political parties in that municipality must be assisted by the instrument delegates here to ensure that really they become, they create conditions for service delivery. They might differ as we differ here, but they are able to ensure that that is not taken as personalized. That we must go and assist. Particularly the IT and the ANC, because they are 3-3, so that we can cool the temper and reduce the tension in that respect. That's what we are raising. That the municipal manager must ensure that there must be a recovery strategy for the whole council, but also for the finances of the council to be recovered in that respect. And also the programs of both in the case base, so that they can rely on themselves in the process. Those are the things that we are raising here, of course, meaning that we leave then these processes that are undertaken by the MEC because they are subject to care here, of investigating this, that, and so on, because we didn't have the sufficient time to get into that. And we felt that it's not our area really to get into whether this thing is true, it's not true, it's correct, not correct, and so on. Our task was to check whether another sphere of government was required to really get into another sphere of government. And we believe then that if these steps that we have raised here can be taken, that can assist a great deal. Of course, I mean, if you look at the report on page 2,
point three, meeting with the mayor and senior management. Not the manager, senior management. You correct that one there. I've not read much on other things which I think will correct. We'll look at the broader tenet of the issue, not the details, we'll correct that. And on point three, on page four, around the accommodations, point three, that political parties in the national country, political parties in the municipality should be assisted by permanent delegates in the NCOP in creating conditions that are conducive for unity and service delivery. Just a rephrasing, re-amendment of that. Those are the things. Then we allow members to add if you want to add anything that people want to add. But I think I've tried to summarize a whole day's activity in a short space of time. So we have a picture of this municipality called ACRA. Somebody.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I just want to share this with the members. That the acting mayor was not appointed. There was an election of the acting mayor after the manager and the former mayor or the mayor after they've been suspended. After the suspension, there was an election where there was a draw of 3-3 because it means then there are six after the suspension of the mayor. So the six went for an election of the acting mayor. So the people who were what do we call it? The candidates. It was the Mrs. Danard and MCB. And according to the report, it took about 2 days. Because the first one there was a draw, then they postponed it. They came the other day, started the process, and it was again a draw of 3-3. Then they put the papers in the head, so that the one who has been taken out then is going to be. That's how they arrive at electing the acting mayor. They go to the head and pick up the name, and then MCB won in that case. So that's how it came to be that the acting mayor is Mr. MCB, which is the ANC. But there were two names, which was the DA and the ANC, and then through this process, then. The ANC won through this drawing. I wanted just to put that clear clarity so that people won't say, the acting mayor was appointed. No, it was a process, democratic process of the election. So it means then everybody participated in the intervention, in fact, to elect the acting mayor. So.
Thank you very much. Vale?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think you have touched on all various points that we actually had witnessed. Except to say that other parties made submissions so that we could refer back to the grievances. All the reflections of deliberations that took place during all these upheavals. But there were other documentation that we requested that the allegations or the statement that you're now making, which now you fall outside the ambit of the report that we got from the MEC, can we get that? So that when we deliberated the same, that we would have taken that on board, which I don't see it here. We were also waiting for the submission by the very Mr. Mfili, who also addressed us, which I don't see. There's only two submissions that we have, is DA and then an IFP. But it suffices to say that the issues raised by the people or by the councillors there
It only came when the acting MM of the council was actually addressing us. They emulated far way back in 2003, when probably some of the councillors were not even there. And then it tells us that if there's any criminality act which was conducted, nobody would say they should not be investigated. And the spirit of the people, very people say, yes, intervention was necessary. Now, one asked himself or herself that, where is it become necessary? Was it become necessary, it became necessary then, or become now necessary now that there's totally no function of the council? That's where you don't get the clarity, but I think the technical department showed to us the necessity that probably the intervention, even if it was necessary, it came at the wrong time. One qualifies it in this way that, yes, the two political parties, in Nkukhu and Mbak, and in that situation, it does not augur well. If you impose an intervention of that nature, because what put us in a pandemic here, it is a unique intervention that the MEC has actually imposed in Itra. There's no administrator. The MM must go back. He hasn't got the teeth to fight. Must go back to the office of MC, MEC, to say, now, I've now reached a deadlock. What must I do? So, in that way, we are not getting anywhere. If the right route was taken, probably in the right intervention, it would be a different scenario. Because people expected that, go, even ANC council said, please, go to the people, and go talk to the people, and you'll find out the truth. We could not do it because the intervention there, it was when the MPC said that the mayor must recuse himself. When he refused to recuse himself so that the investigation can go on, then they went to court. And the court ruled in favor of the MEC. Then the council put a counter, or they put a motion to appeal. That motion is still pending. It hasn't been finalized. Now, we are in a conundrum again, that if the motion has not been finalized by the court, whether the suspension is valid or not. So, we are at that stage, which we went even beyond, when the chairperson says that the necessity probably that we need to do is to dampen the spirit between the two parties. If you read the report from the DA, it is the only report that actually makes sense to me. Because the two parties, the two counter-accusations, the ANC says that the IFP, the Honorable Bwala is spending time with them there and putting poison in their heads. The IFP is like that the MEC is spending this night with you here, putting poison in your head. The affidavit has been made, the accusation that the acting mayor's concubine was actually rude to come and make the phone statement that these are the allegation levels, and there is no thing, where do you get with that? The services is at standstill there. And I think if you look at the in the recommendation, that is the one that to me it would make sense. That before we probably say to the MEC, follow the right direction, if you want to dissolve the council, put the administrator, it's not going to happen. The best thing we suggest is that very soon, IFP, ANC, go back, probably the DA as well, it mooted me that let God school those people about political matters. It is not about them. It is about the people out there. So those are some of the things that I think if can that we do that immediately, then the process of investigation will probably kick off the ground. If I may also share the same thing, the acting mayor at one stage sent the accusation that he was forewarned not to attend a meeting. That if you go there, with a permanent involved. So, you know, there is this statement said, Sabu Shaya. Now, Shaya means whip. But in our term, it goes beyond that. When they'll kill you. Now, it goes to that level. If the intervention continues, people will indeed go in the wrong direction as the rainfall, they will be going up. So, this is the scenario that we have sketched. So, as I say, it is important that we act swiftly and quickly before that municipality goes into docks and the services are not delivered. It is the poor municipalities mainly dealing with the Westman with farmers. Even if the township is a very small township. So, but the area is vast. Dealing with that. Coming to the Western to Lodge, they wanted to outsource it. Nobody is there to do that. Because they can generate the Western revenue. If they probably outsource it, then somebody is in charge of it, then there will be revenue. But even if they do that, who will be managing that? It will be going somebody's wrong pocket. So, that is the scenario we have. Thank you.
Chairperson, I think we are dealing with an anarchy. That is an anarchy. And the unfortunate part is that the DA has actually realized the differences of those people who have been disadvantaged for a very long time. And they are using this to their own advantage. And our people at the end of the day, no, seriously, I think that's exactly what is happening. And unfortunately, that constituency is a constituency of the previous disadvantaged. These are the people who are suffering. The tactic of divide and rule is being played there. And I think the Chairperson, this is a very sad situation. And I will be very surprised if the DA people who are sitting in this committee will really agree with those people who are doing this, promoting divide and division within the people. It can't be right, Chairperson. And it's good that the report is calling for the unity in that area. Having said that, Chairperson, you know, as you were reporting, Chairperson, one picture that you're painting is this thing of hand-picking employees. I was not sure if what you said is what is happening now or is what happened in the past. Is this what happened before the intervention or this is still ongoing even now? That's a clarity, Chairperson, that one would want to get. The second one, Chairperson, with regard to recommendations, you're saying there's a recommendation that says on the short, medium, and long-term basis. Clearly, you're recommending for more serious intervention. What I'm not very sure about is the time frame, having observed the situation. Is the recommendation suggesting that when the period of intervention comes to an end, there should be a reconsideration even to extend it? That's what I'm trying to understand, that recommendation, in the light of the crisis that is there, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. This is closed.
Thank you very much, Mrena, you will follow Mr. Ro and Mr. West.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson.
Chairperson, for now, allow me to be brutal, Chair. Brutal. the situation is thickened. Maybe let me start from the beginning. To thank you, Chair, that on our behalf you managed to go and do the inspection in loco. We thank you so much for that. I know your team was depleted, but nevertheless you managed to be there and see for yourself. Chair, I want to start from the remark made by Urban during the previous debate in terms of the equitable share. Move from that equitable share thing, coming to the role of the province and the MEC. Chair, I said I'm going to be brutal and my sentiments might not be favored by this meeting. It's high time, Chair, we put our finger on the pulse and check exactly where is the problem. You get a president who go in our provinces to visit people to get their grievances. And he becomes so vocal and strong to say, MECs, councillors, do what you are elected for. Now the question is, when did the province realize that municipality is not working? We can't wait until there's fires and then we'll come to intervene as if we just want to take power from people. We can't behave like that. It's high time to ask this committee that represents provinces. We took our MSCs on or about this one. Because in all our briefings, we keep on asking us to say, when did you check that there is a light flickering, a danger light? When did you realize that? They can't tell us that. Because we can't keep on approving interventions, Chairperson. Look at what happened in Mamusa in Northwest. We're not intervention, but what happened? The province didn't do anything. Look at Mafeking. Well, we gave them chance to intervene and try to better the situation. They're not doing it. It's not that maybe it's IFP and ANC only, but that given where it's one party governing that particular municipality, it is a trend. And we must discourage this person because it will appear as if we promote where MECs if they feel they've not delivered a particular municipality. What they do to cover themselves, they intervene. We can't accept it. It's high time we call MECs. I'm not going to talk about this particular incident only. I'm just give an example. When you call MECs to come and account, like what Khan is doing, this is not acceptable. When are they monitored to see if that particular municipality is not effective? We can't deal with parties conniving, not look conniving, I'm making a right word. Agreeing to work together in a municipality, that will happen. We're doing it before we're ourselves and DA, we're ruling together there. There's nothing wrong. And if our guys are performing it before West, ANC and DA, it will be just imagine the MEC will run this down. I'm going to intervene simply because our MECs must start from now to try and put more time in making sure that there is service delivery in our municipalities. Because there is nothing like there is no money. In the local government, there's more than 700 million that is idling, that is not used, that's not infrastructure grants and other services. Not being utilized by municipalities. Why can't we take the money and assist our people there? Now they'll write to the SOP, come intervene. Why they fail to deliver on the ground there? We can't accept this. I know that might not get joy from my colleagues here, but Jefferson, I am ready. I'm not going to budge on this one. This is not acceptable. We cannot approve this full-blown intervention here. What we need to know is the mechanism that was put in place by the province, by the MEC, by whoever, even the national minister, even the national department. What are they doing to assist our provinces? That we don't find ourselves in this kind of situation. If the municipality did not submit their audit reports for so many, for some years, where was the province? Where was the national ministry? What happened? Because this is a chain. Because the province cannot,
the National Department, you know, just dish out money and don't follow up as what that money is doing down there. And the province can't just take money and give it to the district and not follow up as to what's happening, the money is being used for in that particular district. And the district can't dish out money to local municipality and fall their arms. We can't accept it, Chairperson. We can't. As one person, Chairperson, who I'm going to use as my province, that we can't approve for the full-blown intervention simply because people can't do their work. The president is singing this song all around, Chairperson. Even when he was at together, he said the same thing to say, but what's happening here? Everything is what's going on. National minister, what's going on here? He was concerned, and he didn't even advocate that, no, let's come intervene here today because there is no delivery in this municipality at Utugesh. He said, I want to see change here. Next time I come to Utugesh, I want to see things happening here. And I'm told things are moving now. We can't wait until the president comes and intervene. We can't. Chair President, my apologies, I've taken my time. I know I was not supposed to be so long, but this can't allow to happen indefinitely. We can't, Chair President. My apologies, Chair President.
Thank you very much. I think on that one, on the issue of our role, if you remember, we started the process of engaging problems on the state of municipality. But I think what we need to do is to develop what you can call a questionnaire or areas of focus. Because when I ask you a question, it depends upon the information. When I want information, it depends on the question that I want. The response they get. Now, what it means, therefore, I think what is important then is that you must develop that area of focus. But at the same time, maybe that committee is able to meet for a week now, you know, the cluster. I mean, the committee can meet for a week, can call people for a week to come and account. But in addition to that, I think we must do that with the committee of finance. In fact, I think in the coming next year, we must work more with finance. Because our responsibility, which we have neglected, is provinces. Now, because we are influenced by what the department does, DPLG. DPLG focuses on local government. Now, it's in our behavior as a committee. It moves that direction. It's our task to check how provinces are functioning. How are they spending on education, on health, on everything. It's our responsibility as a committee. But we've neglected that. They're focusing on local government and so on. Now, I think to tell you what you are saying, Olamide, because if you look at it, there is an issue about the roads and so on. If we're dealing with provinces, we'll be able to call the Department of Transport in KwaZulu-Natal to say the roads in this area, why is an issue. Now, I think the way we work maybe next year, let's up the bar a bit and ensure that we work with finance, both will come from the financial perspective, we come from our perspective, we're able to deal with these things that way. So we develop a joint program on that issue. Mr. West, you'll follow Bob Guru. Mr. West?
Yes, I just want to strongly record my objection to the comments made by the honorable member over here who was not even part of the tour. To say that we want to divide and rule, but in other words, because we align ourselves in that particular instance with the IFP, then it's our fault, but if we had aligned ourselves with the other party, then it would have been all right. I think that is far from the truth of the matter, but I totally agree with the Honourable Koshi Mokoena that goes about service delivery to the people at ground level, and that is really what counts, and we've got to get to the bottom of that, and I totally stand by that if there are any irregularities, that they must be sorted out, and that the municipality must function for the better of all the people in the area. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chapter 7. Firstly, I would like to raise some few issues here, so that members can be well acquainted of what is happening there. Firstly, that municipality, in nature, is poor, because very few, the farmers,
there, they own the big land, everything. There is the farmers. The people there, the majority, it's just poverty. And the municipality does not have the capacity to collect revenue. Secondly, that municipality is not viable. Even if you look, I don't know how was it demarcated, a person who demarcated that thing. What was the motive? I think the motive was just to protect the farmers in any way there. Because if you look at it, that municipality is not viable. We found that there is no report of the leak from the district. There's nothing. You don't find out what is happening with the with the municipal infrastructure grant. They don't know, in fact, whether it does exist. There's no report whether they've been given and how it's being utilized. And the other thing is that the district itself do not report. They don't give them whatever program, what is the district doing. But they've said there is one person who's representing them, which is me, is Mr. Stannard, who's representing them in the district. But they've said he has never noticed in any way he reported what are they doing in the district. So I will say in all, I will say the intervention is a blessing to that municipality, because things will start to happen through the MEC. Because if the MEC is not intervening there, it's seemingly that that municipality is neglected. I mean, they won't be able even to, not to say to run, even to send. So I hope maybe what Honorable Mkwena was saying, that I think we are sitting in a time bomb situation where we think we've got municipalities. They are there in names. And if you look at that municipality, you can see that this thing is just there for those councillors maybe to get a salary or allowances. Not because we are expecting that municipality to deliver anything. So I do agree with Honorable Mukwena that maybe we have to look at the bigger picture. Why was that municipality with four councillors? Why was it established? And then what is it doing? I know that maybe these things, these smaller things, I mean the corruption and all that, you can expect in such an area where you feel you can do anything, you are everything. If you are a councillor there, you are the manager, you are the councillor, you are in course. So you do as you please. Thank you.
Mangale na Chikwan. Mangale mba mseni, nizu kwa buko wako, mbese nizu kwa Chikwan.
Maybe, Chairperson, I shouldn't have come back because I raised questions with regard to your recommendation. Just to listen to the response, then one can come back as a follow-up to them.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am not going to get into the debate about the Utrecht municipality. I come from another province. But what that honourable member is saying, of this plenary municipality, we need a review of this municipality, where you have a mayor being a speaker of the municipality at the same time. You have these very few councillors who are not in the running on a day-to-day basis of the municipality. Where you find that these officials that are always accused of, all these abnormalities run the municipality. And the level of accountability, you find that you cannot trace it. That's what I want to raise here. We need a review of all these plenary, these small municipalities. If you can, we have also such municipalities in the Eastern Cape.
when we do a round of these municipalities who accounts when, who is who when, you will find that officials, municipal managers and other section 57 managers are the ones who are responsible for these, you know, affairs in the municipalities. When you ask politicians, they rely on the reports from the very section 57 managers who on their own do not, you know, work full time in these municipalities because they know that these watchdogs that are supposed to be monitoring them are not there, they are doing other jobs. So you need to conceptualize how we then deal with policy, not only useful states, but all these municipalities with 3, 4, 5 councillors, you know, we need to review of that process.
I think it goes to what we are discussing, the passion of this, the part-time councillors. What really do we need in time and age in South Africa to have part-time councillors? Because what you are saying is quite true. I remember in the unions, the former trade unionists, people talk about worker control, but the worker is ethnic. People who are running the organization, organizers, the secretary of the organization, and so on. This worker comes in a meeting of a shopper council. You go straight to a meeting and you go home. The person who runs the thing is who? These organizers, full-time employees. This worker is totally reliant on these organizers. Therefore, you can't control anything. You have a factory. Because you are faced on a daily basis with the issue of a factory shop issue. You can't focus for this. To me, I think it's a similar concept in a way that you are a part-time person. You rely on these officials. There's not sufficient time even to read documents to formalize yourself. Even the issue, level of accountability becomes wicked. Therefore, I think sometimes you must look at the part-time, full-time concept thing, whether you require that sort of thing in that. But of course, then I think the interim measures is to look at how what we do now in terms of handling this thing. What do you think? Before maybe, then I'll respond to Ure. Then we're able to look at the take it out then.
Thank you, Jefferson. I think Nkosumgwena Labana has said a mouthful. We cannot be seen, you know, when things like the fire is now actually at its toll. Then somebody runs to us and said, endorse my intervention. But if you look back, how far the thing stretches for, which we were not getting the report from that, then we don't come in and say, yes, we rather stamp, yes, you the intervention is correct. I think that alone says a mouthful. And I think we need to start somewhere. And I think the start should be here, because once we say that to this MEC, no, you've not done your work, we're not actually rather sending this. It is only then that they would probably wake up and start doing things permanently. Let me tell you, sir, you were there. To endorse what my colleague is saying that day, let's start looking at this thing. The municipality of Utrecht. At one stage, it was at level 2. It is now at level 1. But the salaries the councillors are getting is at level 5. Now, what happened is that, if Mr. Ndule has actually wanted to actually challenge me on the statement when he said, the MEC said to us, when I posed the question, he said he has been getting motions that the municipality is not functioning. Now, Mr. Julius said, no, he said reports. Because my question was that, to all councillors that were there, who was sending reports to the MEC? Because there was this statement that he is there with his colleagues. I said, because there must be a channel where you send a report to that office. It is not everybody that when I meet you at the corner said, hey, you know so-and-so is doing this. I was trying to check that. It's exactly where the MEC will always fall in a trap. Because he will rely on information that he gets, but he's not getting other information from the other parties. So, the problem here, to be quite honest, we cannot endorse any other intervention. The intervention is as unique as it is. I think the route we need to take, not going to quell that fire.
because what we want to say to them, attend to the issues of the people. The other thing is that we need to also look into, to endorse what my colleagues will say from the Eastern Cape, is that the our councillors that goes, that are being elected, most of them are semi-illiterate. They entirely depend on these officials, the reports, the agenda, everything they get is prepared by the officials. Theirs is just to endorse it, endorse it. They don't know what they're endorsing. Because the language used is not their mother tongue language. So that's another issue that we need to further look into when our people get into the office, that when they are called a political head, they really talk politics. They are not the employees of the officials. I was a councillor before. I had to feel this thing with my colleagues there. That when you talk of the budget, they say, yes, that is right, it's compiled. I said, were you there when it was compiled? No, the town clerk has compiled it. Now, do you agree with it? But these are some of the things that we need to look into. But yeah, this one, I think our route should be going back to the councillors. You have suggested that. I have taken the initiative. I've already phoned the councillors in Nature. I'd already phoned the head office because they were actually, based on those accusations, that let's look at the interests of the people rather than looking at the what's left. The welfare of the councillors that have been paid at the level of level 5 when they are at level 1. Probably now they are at level 0.
Thank you very much. Well, responding to what has been raised by Rex, this teaching that you put taking employment, it was happening before the intervention. There was nothing that suggested. The person who is there now is an acting support manager. And it seems to be a very capable thing who come from different departments handling that. The issue of the time frame in relation to this, my view is that I would myself not associate with something that is long drawn in this intervention. It must be something that is done, I think, quicker to allow certain processes to take their course. But then shift this to Section 154 of the Constitution that gives us support. KwaZulu-Natal is what they call municipal assistance program. Municipal assistance program, the MAP. That they must give that. However, the what was raised when we met with the MEC, and people that were raised there, is that the reason for him to take this first step of intervention, there was an investigation conducted that raised an issue of maladministration, fraud, corruption, and mismanagement. He asked the council to act on the report. Gave them 21 days, they didn't act. They pretended as if nothing has happened. Then, for this thing to happen, he can't just go and say, do it. You must have a legal basis for you to allow certain courses to take course, certain to take place. Therefore, you must have you must take some executive obligations to allow the process of investigation so that people are not there. That's why the mayor and municipal manager were requested to recuse themselves, so that staff is not intimidated. Witnesses are not intimidated. You are not there. So that this investigation can be different on these issues that were identified by the intervention. It was on that basis that this thing happened. That he came in. His area more is focusing on the execution of the report that was found. The issue that we are raising ourselves is what you got to say these things must be dealt with, but the council on its own doesn't have the capacity or the ability to deal with them. It requires other spheres of government to give it support for it to be able to move. Now, it means, therefore, there is no way that, given the attitude, even from my point of view, that those councillors
on their own, we can implement things that are criminal processes against them without any help on their own. Because I must tell you that what we got, which we didn't talk about, those people, the council will need to take a decision. They will go to the staff and staircase to take minutes and say, write a resolution to this week. What do you call that? You agree in the meeting. They go outside the meeting and say to the staircase, write this, the staircase, the minutes must write like this. Something that was not totally discussed in the meeting. Clearly that thing I've never heard of. Anyway, where you go to manipulate things in that way. Therefore, you need a process of allowing a situation where people know that they are politicians, they must play their political role. Right? Of course, advertising is required. But not to be involved in those things of instructing. If people are not complying, they tell you that you are going to be dismissed. So that's what is happening. Now, I'm saying then, it is in that context that the thing, we must go in cold tempers, but processes of criminal nature that are different must be allowed to take the cost. I don't think we, as a committee, can intervene in that. That's what I was referring to. Yeah.
Thanks, Chairperson. In fact, I would say I would like to amend this report that it should appear that, as we have said, that they were given 21 days to respond, but they did not. In fact, they said 3 months, up to 6 months and all that, they did not respond. So that's why the MEC intervened. And secondly, we have to correct that it was the appointment of the acting mayor. It was an election. It's not appointment, it's an election. He was elected to yeah. Which page is that? I will say that is paragraph 3. After the last sentence, this has to be done within 21 days. That we must add, which was not done. Page 1, yeah, page 1. Paragraph 3, at the end of paragraph 3. That it appears that they were supposed to respond within 21 days. And I am saying it must appear that they did not. Secondly, page 4, where it says the appointment, it also carries the appointment of the current acting mayor. Let's put the election. I don't know the English, but the appointment and elected is two different things. So this acting mayor was elected. So I was saying that that should be corrected. And I want to add, Chairperson, that when we were raising these issues about the capacity and all that, I was not suggesting that they have to withdraw the intervention. What I was suggesting was that the intervention must go together with building the capacity of doing all these things. Because if we say, let's say, because all these things which we have mentioned have not been done, so let's prevent the MEC to intervene, then what about the municipality? What are we saying? We say it must be left like that to continue whatever. I'm saying we have raised those issues, but not to prevent the MEC to intervene. We are saying the intervention must also assist on all these areas we have mentioned. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mrana. Any of you, you follow up.
No, Chair, thanks for clarifying the question of time frames. Clearly, Chairperson, this municipality has serious problems. I think the report that we're receiving from the team that went there
in a way, it actually begins to agree with what the MEC said to us. You know, the MEC briefed us at S35. And the picture that he painted about that municipality, if we wanted to short-circuit everything, we would have said that's enough in that meeting. We would have said that it is enough. But because we wanted to verify the situation on our own, this is the reason why the committee had to go there. The committee comes back and it says almost everything that was said by the MEC, almost everything, exactly the same thing. Now, if you find yourself in a situation like that, Chairperson, in a situation where the politics are actually being used to deprive the citizens, the basic civil services, you also get an impression that even if you were to say to the province withdraw, you are not likely to get even the district municipality supporting that municipality to provide basic services that are required by our people. You are not likely to get that. Therefore, the recourse for our community there, Chairperson, becomes your province. The record becomes your province. It is against that background, that Chairperson, that I want to say that because the province has not really taken every power in that municipality, they have taken certain powers that they think the intervention will assist to address. This intervention should continue, Chairperson. And as this intervention continues, you make an important point, Chairperson. That says that the KwaZulu-Natal province has a program that supports the municipality. And I think in our recommendation, that's something that must come out very clear also. To say that as you talk about the support that must be given to the municipality, I think that point of that program must be emphasized to say the province must actually continue to support that municipality within the context of that municipality support program that is actually carried by the municipality. That will be my take in Chairperson, having listened to the response that you provided. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think we have not deliberated on this issue. We will need to probably come to a conclusion. Chair, suffice to probably to respond on the question of 21 days, which was actually given to the councillors to respond to. I think that question, sir, was addressed to us, and it all depends how we did review it. I think Mr. Mabaso indicated to us that when they received that notice, it was written in the language that it is not well conversant to them. Then they wrote back to the MEC and said, in the short space of time that you are giving us to respond on this, the language that is the language it used in this letter, it is not the language that we are professions with it. We will have to engage, because it has a legal terms. We will have allow us to get a person who has a legal background to interpret this to us, so that when we respond, we will respond with a full understanding. And forthwith, my understanding, because they say the letter of acknowledgement of that, it came from the office of the MEC that I am in receipt of your letter. Now, after then, probably when probably 21 days has passed, they had solicited the legal person when after they did respond to those allegations. The question is that did they respond on time? Whether the MEC did consider there was their request that we need to engage a legal person to do that.
And sir, may I end with this, that I think we are now mature people. When we go for these interventions, let us not act as attorneys of our parties. We must see things objectively and respond and deliberate things in the manner that it will benefit the people on the ground, rather than presently try and shield and defend, because that's not going to take us anywhere. That's how I view this thing, and that's how I have actually, my input is based on that, let's look things objectively, so that we know where we are going, whether we are helping the people, because if we do that and then take sides, we are now putting oil in the fire, instead of petrol.
Thanks, Chair. I also want to participate in this debate, Chairperson, in trying to assist that municipality. Chair, I would agree if the council will give the province or the MEC to intervene only in a limited period. Number one. Number two, I'll agree if the province will the MEC will intervene if you provide us with a program. That's what's going to happen. How is it going to assist that municipality? Limpopo province will agree with the intervention if we're going to get a report every month. That's what's happening there. But this blackened invitation is Limpopo, we're not going to support you. We've seen enough of these things happening, and I think we are mature enough now not to be coerced to participate in some other actions that are not assisting our people, but to divide them further. Chair, I agree with everything, but my only concern, Chair, is that we don't get anything that says, as a province, we have done the following in terms of supporting that consultancy financially and otherwise. We're only told of what they requested after they have seen the municipality crumbling. That's my only concern, Chair. That's my concern. You remember what we have done at Kabashweu in Mpumalanga? What we have done? The province intervened, but at the same time, they pumped in their staff and money and everything so that they must be live in that municipality. But we don't see that yet, Chair, unless it's still coming. Hence, I'm saying I'll find it very difficult, Chairperson, to support a blanket intervention that does not have all these conditions that were tabled here. As this house that looks at interests of our people in provinces, that will be my submission, Chairperson. I support the intervention, but if it will reflect those conditions, where we have this itemized conditions, that exactly what the chairman of the council said, as the NCOP works, to make sure that whatever we do, let's make sure that it's based on what people want on the ground down there at the NCOP. You remember what the president said at Stellenbosch? When he praised us because they were able to even command provinces or MECs or ministers to come in account. If we don't do the chairperson and just say, no, we are we're doing this intervention without these conditions that I've tabled being given to us. I remember because, for example, I want us to check when was the last time we received a report of municipalities where we've intervened. When was the last time? That is why even the data department of local government, they have defaulted in reporting to the House since 1994 up until now. They have not reported to the NCOP
of the status of municipalities in the country. Why? Because they've been lenient. In terms of the constitution, they're supposed to report to your committee chairperson a new intent table in the council. They're not doing it. The national ministry, they've defaulted in terms of this nice document. And it's up to us to say, the buck stops here. We are no more processing machine. We are a committee of parliament. See what we have done, chairperson, about the Justice Department. They have led a very big lesson. Because now you said, chairperson, we are not going to budge. These are two attention. And surprisingly, ministers are now phoning me that they are thinking, you see, I've been walking out in and out here. 4 ministers have phoned me now to say, oh, thanks very much for what you have done with your committee. But if we bring this rubber stamp committee where you are saying, want to be seen to be more progressive than others. Chair, sorry for it's not Mukhabulu, but I was just saying, I support the intervention, but based on the condition that I've tabled, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think there are 2 proposals on the table. But we have not done much around the apparatus. The first proposal is that Kusbali, we don't support the intervention. It must withdraw and so on. Things that never happened. The second proposal on the table is that we support the intervention amended by Umrena, which it must be with conditions. Meaning that you must be able to say that by this time, we want you to table these things that we want to say as a program. Failing of which, those things, if you are not tabled, the intervention lapses. We don't support it. And be able to say these are things that we think have to be in front of us. That we're able to see. Because I think all of us would agree that a community must not be taken as a representative. And I think it must not be taken as people that people run to it, they know it will agree. It's a given. Would it will agree? Even if you come from the same political party, that's what is more nice about the ANC. There's no line from Lusaka. No more. The line comes from us here. We are given a latitude to engage as we see things. We take decisions as we see them. We can give out anybody. Now, I'm saying that there's just one proposal. The second one, to Eminem Kasmal, he sure would know, let's not support intervention. Now, I think let's look at rounding up this thing. I would want to persuade this man. I know the party has a line. Yeah? Oh, this thing is not supposed to be there. But I think now it's bad to be realistic. Our conditions are not conducive for the development of that municipality. Not only that, but the hostility against the province by the TA and IFP cannot allow even a support program to function properly. In fact, there's a great guy, Utuban, in the next one, I don't like him. By tomorrow, they would want to hound him out, given an opportunity. Now, what you have a situation then that you have is that I think in the interest of the community, the development there, because either my province must play a role, must pay for resources, that a potential must develop, must be a better thing. We must be able to give those to me the same conditions. I'm persuading you about it now. Of course, you might agree with me quietly because I think you have an interest of the people out there. There might be other political considerations which I think we understand. But to me, I'm telling you, the province, it can be very difficult for it to be able to move without that grip constitutionally the municipality. I think then we are able then, if we agree on that route, we are able to put these conditions, tighten them up, we send them to KwaZulu-Natal, we debate this thing next week, we must have got those things by that time. Right, in terms of the things that we want to put, in terms of what they think that must be done. And on the basis of that, we are able to see. And I think I agree with the view that says, in addition to that, we must go back and check what has happened to this.
what it is. We
visited the committee finance at Great High. People were telling me that Nifal is falling apart. You find that human day there's no staff member, there's nothing, nobody. Doors are locked. Nothing is happening. You phone, telephones are not answered, and so on. Now the things are man, there's a moon. Would what really? What all of the case did their problem? We don't know. I mean, we still to check that. Now I'm saying we're still checking all those things, but develop a comprehensive approach. Now I'm saying then, I agree with that. We must talk to the department also to write a letter to say they're trying to comply in terms of the Citizens Act. They must comply in terms of presenting a report as they are required by law. So we have figured that out. Now, just finally, what is this one?
Jefferson, the view that I have put there is that the level of accusations from both sides put me in that quandary that if one interprets the action taken, one could say that, well, the MEC has been getting report one-sidedly. And without probably exercising his own mind, he acted perseveringly on the report that he got and said, fine, now I'm putting a guillotine. I don't say that that is what concluded one arrives at. But when the court is saying, I am supporting, provided this is man. To me, I may interpret it that it is a provisional thing that if we don't get that, then the support is not given. Till such a time we get that. Then probably I will be then persuaded that the intervention to me it remains invalid till we get those response, because people say the state of the municipalities now is worse than when the devil was probably ruling. Now, to me tells you that probably the injection of the intervention, it is now fueling it deteriorates the state of that municipality. But this is an undertaking that, yes, if this unique intervention that is there with the MM that he's been actually queried that he came from other municipalities where he's been suspended. He's under investigation in from that municipality, but he's put there. But if you look at the man, the capabilities that he has, he's capable. But we don't know the problems that he had in the previous municipality where he was actually been suspended from. So, I said, if you quote my word, I said, I don't know whether this man will be permanently employed. Because the other query was that, I think that it wasn't the function of the MEC to suspend a staff, not a political person, because the MM is an employee of the council. That person can only be sanctioned by the council. It can only be employed by the council. But I think then if the MEC would go to that extent, if I suspend him as well, to me it was actually going overboard. But I will be persuaded if the intervention, it is temporarily till such a time that we get those undertakings, then I'll probably be persuaded. Thank you, sir.
Can we agree then that we'll put those conditions, that the report is adopted with the amendments made, that the intervention is with provisional pending the getting of these things that we must get. If we don't, then it fails. What is the view of the meeting? Bob.
I'm not sure which aspect of or the conditions that Commission articulated as he was talking.
But I think also, Chairperson, it will be actually very good if we get periodic reports. And I think we have done this before. Periodic reports, say monthly report, just to assess the situation on our own. So when you say the intervention has not worked, you should have also been informed by that report. But beside the report, as you correctly pointed out, and maybe Koshi has made that important observation, that previously what we did was to intervene, to agree to an intervention. But what we failed on was to go back there on our own before we agree to the continuance or to continue the intervention or to withdraw the intervention. I think that's one. That's the second area that we need to address, Chairperson, for the committee. Also to go back there to make observation on this own before it can agree to the future extension of the intervention. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ray. Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I support the intervention with the conditions. Thanks.
Support the intervention.
I think there's an agreement. Mr. West?
Yeah, I would first like to see the amended report next week, you know, with conditions or whatever, before I can agree. Because what I also don't know is, I've heard there's also a court action here, so I can't. Puts me in a very awkward position. I can't say yes, I agree to this, and it might be ultra vires to whatever the court action is. I don't know.
No, it's fine. I think we'll deal with all that. I think the principle that we're getting here is the resolution on the issue, so that it can be, we can work on it administratively, fine-tune it, so that it can be ATC'd and tabled in the discussion next week. But at the same time, hoping that we'll have got a lot of things by next week. I think there's somewhere where we are not saying the same thing, because the Honourable is saying the intervention remains invalid until we get what Hoshi was proposing. And on the other hand, we are saying we support the intervention provided that we also get what is required in terms of the conditions proposed by Hoshi. Can we straighten that? What is it that we are actually saying? The invalid and accepting provided that we get this and that and that. How do we phrase it so that we can say we agree to one thing? What we are agreeing upon is that the Constitution says that the committee or the National Council of Provinces must approve or disapprove the intervention within a period of 180 days, which is 6 months. If you look at the report in front of you, the intervention starts on the 2nd of August, meaning that the 6 months lapses in February. Therefore, within that period, we must say we agree or disagree. Meaning that the intervention is going to be there up until we pronounce on it. Therefore, what we are saying is that we'll agree with it on condition that these things that we require are met. And otherwise, it is rejected. The reason for us to push that we go there last week was for this reason, that February will arrive, we will not have met as a council. Therefore, it means that period will have defaulted them to the Constitution if we have not done so. Now, that's why we have to go last week, because that we can allow this process of defeating the report here, amending it, tabling it to the ATC 3 days before it is debated. That's what we're trying to do. That's why we follow all the procedural matters, so that we're not found at fault in terms of what is going on. Mran.
Yeah, Chair, okay. In terms of Section 100 of our Constitution, Subsection 2C,
Let's start from 2D, 2B. The intervention must end if the council disapproves the intervention within 180 days after the intervention began, or by the end of that period, has not approved the intervention. Now, you come to see to what Dr. Musaik was saying. C reads, the council must, while the intervention continues, review the intervention regularly and may make any appropriate recommendations to the national executive. This brings me to the point that the intervention is on as we speak. Right? What is to as this council? Either we approve or we say no. It is within our rights in terms of this legislation, particularly the subsection I read, to say the conditions that I proposed here are in line with exactly this particular section I read. It's up to us now to send this conditions that we're going to approve the intervention based on the following conditions. If these conditions are not met, as a council in February, that intervention will lapse, and the MEC must allow the council, because it's an independent structure, independent sphere of government, to continue working as if there's no intervention. But we're saying, because of the crisis that is there, that you, our colleagues, reported to us, of which we accept, I also want to persuade my colleagues that let's accept this intervention, but with conditions. And these conditions must be there, and because we're allowed to regularly. It's not even saying a month or 2 months, it's regularly. It's up to us to determine when we want to go and see as to whether the intervention was in the best interest of the people or not. And if we discover that it was not there, then it's within our rights to say, no, as NCOP, we're saying, no, MEC, thanks, but no thanks. So I want to say, let's put those conditions in. I know your scribe is very capable. He has noted all the proposal that we've made, including that we've made by my colleagues here. So the intervention is on. Even if we can say no now, but it is on. And the MEC will rely on the same section to say, within these 2 months, I'm allowed to can do this, but if the council cannot pronounce itself, he has to go out again in February. Thank you.
Or we cut him before, if we want to, to poison that tenant, if we disapprove. If, we can move the
land. Yeah, I wanted just to check, what happens, let's say if we say no, the intervention, then what happens to the municipality if you look at it now? The suspension of the mayor, the suspension of the MM, if we say withdraw the intervention, does that mean the investigation and all that which is taking place, then what is it? Is it continuing? What is the status of the municipality? If we say, pull out, we mean they must go back and re-elect an acting municipal mayor, or we mean the former status quo must remain. In terms of the law, a councillor can be removed only with the tacit approval of the province. Only. If you remember the case of Mkwena, in Bloemfontein, the Free State. You remember the case of Shaban, here, that the DC of the DA-led coalition could not decide on his own. The MEC must be the one who says, I agree or I disagree.
in the whole thing. Now I'm saying, what has happened then to the I'm saying, yes, that's all. However, in this case, to validate what he wanted to do, he went to the court around the mayor and the municipal manager. The court supported him that he can do what he has done, meaning that he can follow that process. But the problem that you have is that, yes, you can have all the courts that support you, but the municipality is hostile to you. Whatever you do, they block, they do all sorts of things. They're stuck. That will happen. It means you can have the power of the court, but executing it, because this is my case, it becomes very difficult. It becomes unattainable. However, I think what we are agreeing upon is that the intervention is supported in as far as it meets the conditions that have been outlined, which we are going to define to put them in paper, and ensure then that this thing will be ATC'd, follow all the process discussed next week, which I think will get a copy of whatever that is done. Then we'll communicate with the MEC in terms of the outcome of this meeting, of what is required. Then in that way, then we're able to engage on this process in a way that is supposed to be. Can we agree on that as a meeting?
Yeah, just to support you in what you said, in response to my colleague, Honorable Ndul. What this means, if the NCOP does not support the MACs to intervene there, it means the powers that are now with the MAC will be now handed back to the council. They'll say their powers normally, as a full council. Those powers that are taken now will be sent back to the council normally.
Colleagues, thank you very much for your engagement, which was quite intense. I thought everything would be a few minutes thing that would begin and finish. But with the presence of Usmali, he complicates his matters. But I must thank you, Usmali, for open mind, that you'll continue being a great politician. The weakness is that you are old. That's a weakness. Now you can't say you are rising. You won't continue. You are declining. But I must tell you, that spirit is valid. It's amazing. Not many people can be able to rise above the party things and be able to do these things. I think in us as the ANC, we are lucky because we are given a leeway. You know, they send their aid on serious matters, like things that you have had in your first week in the media, where you're told, but generally, with the free reign to do what you want to do and so on. Now, in your case, things are watched closely in terms of what you do and so on and engage upon, but your ability to be able to engage is appreciated. Your contribution in the committee is valuable. Thank you very much, colleagues. The meeting is officially adjourned.